Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As we heard from Sri Vasudevan Lakshmi Kumar Tathacharya, the holy name can be chanted in any place, should be chanted in every place. I'm going to speak on Vishnu Sahasranam. To me it seems very suitable, especially suitable to speak in this place, Sri Rangam, on Vishnu Sahasranam, seeing as it has been a central facet of the spiritual culture here for so many generations. Divya Prabandhas, of course, also, and Vishnu Sahasranam all over India was a central part of Vaishnav culture. But it's good to chant here, everywhere. This very place, which we are fortunate to be in now, is a place of Vaishnava culture. Name 878 in Vishnu Sahasranam is Priyakrit. Priya, we all know the meaning of Priya. Priya means that which is liked, that which is dear. We probably have some devotees here with Priya in their name or Priya as their name. It's a common name, girl's name especially. It can be a male name also. Priya for males, Priya for females. And Krit gives the sense of doing. So Priyakrit means he who does what is dear, he who does what others want. For instance, this is not from any of the previous commentators, but the example springs to mind, give us this day our daily bread. This was probably the most quoted of Srila Prabhupada's quotes from the Bible, from a prayer. Lord Jesus taught how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Srila Prabhupada always would quote that also. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, I think that's archaic English. Praised be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And Srila Prabhupada would point out that it's not really that devotional to ask God to give bread when he's giving all living beings their required food for sustenance. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. Eko yo vidatati kaman. What is it? Eko yo bahabir vidatati kaman. There's one supreme eternal among all the supreme eternal. There's one supreme eternal among all the eternal beings, and that one is fulfilling the desires of all the others. But it's a start to recognize that God gives us bread, or in this part of the world, more likely rice, or even more popular than rice previously, so I'm told, is ragi, millets. Maybe not in Sri Rangam, among the Brahmanas, they would prefer rice. I don't know if there are ragi preparations offered regularly to Ranganatha Swami. I don't see, but rice preparations, yes. So he gives, even without asking. Srila Prabhupada sometimes compared that to the child asking the father each day, are you going to give me food today? Are you going to get food today? It's almost like an expression of lack of faith. But it's a beginning. It's a beginning. It's better than being an atheist who says that the communists give us bread. The communists will say, we are giving bread. God is not giving you bread. You know this example, and Srila Prabhupada pointed out that the foolish people, because they had not been trained in the science of God or even in basic common sense, didn't think that the communists didn't produce bread ex nihilo. Bread. It's not like that. It comes from the grain, which comes from the earth, which is nourished by water, and this is all the arrangement, not of the communists. It's the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in previous names, we have heard how Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is especially eager to fulfill the desires of his devotees. But in this name, we have different understanding, slightly different. Parashara Bhatta says that he, Bhagavan, fulfills the desires of even those devotees who have desires other than him. For those who desire him only, he is very anxious to fulfill their desire. But even persons who approach him with even a semblance of devotion, he will fulfill their desire. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradhihi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushamparam. We are recommended to intensely worship the Supreme Lord, whether we are desireless, full of desires, or desiring liberation. If we are actually intelligent, we should do so. Because after all, it is he who fulfills all desires, and he is a person who listens to our prayers. So if we have other motives other than pleasing him, material desires, he can very well fulfill them also. And he will do. So if we're materialistic, it's best to pray to Krishna. However, there's a catch. Because Krishna is not materialistic, and Krishna is all-attractive. So if we approach Krishna with material desires, to have those material desires fulfilled, then it's very dangerous to our materialistic outlook, because we become purified from the material desires. And that can come in a manner that is a priya, unpleasing. Another half verse that Srila Prabhupada would often quote, Yasyaham anugrihnami harishe taddhanam shanai. Yudhishthira Maharaj, after a lifetime of struggle and suffering, asked Krishna, what is the symptom of your mercy upon your devotees? Like, we're supposed to be your devotees, and this is what you do to us. What do you do to someone who you're merciful to? And Krishna said, I take away everything they have. And they were saying, yeah, you're a devotee. That's why I took everything away from you. And eventually Krishna gave everything also. But we see in the life of the Pandavas that they were really embodiments of this labha, 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 jaya, jayo, suke, duke, same, kritva, that happiness or distress, gain or loss, they were simply interested in serving Krishna. And even Yudhishthira fought to get the kingdom back, but it wasn't out of personal greed, it was because he needed, as a kshatriya in Krishna's service, he needed some land to rule over. And of course Krishna encouraged the fighting. If Krishna had not encouraged the fighting, then Yudhishthira wouldn't have gone ahead with it. We know also from Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha bhajante manjana sukritin arjuna arto jignyasur artharti jnani cha bharatarshava. Krishna says that four kinds of people approach me. Four kinds of pious people begin my worship, begin to worship me. The distressed, the inquisitive, the desirer of wealth, and one who is in knowledge of me. Now, if he didn't fulfill their desires, then why should they approach him? That's what I often think about so many people, especially Tirumala. So many people go there especially to fulfill their material desires. And practically every temple people go fulfilling material desires. But especially that temple is very famous. So if it didn't work, the word would have got out by now that it's just a bluff, nothing happens. But the word is out that it does happen. He does reciprocate. And therefore people keep on coming and giving large amounts of money and gold and all kinds of things, and their hair. It's even the women there, they shave their hair, which is a big sacrifice for a woman to have her hair shaved off. But they have the faith that Krishna will fulfill my desire. And he does. So even people, even if we have lesser desires than pure devotion to him, if we approach him, he will fulfill those desires. Of course, he's not bound to. And he's not Ashutosh, Lord Shiva, who indiscriminately fulfills the desires of his supplicants. Krishna, he doesn't just, what do you want? Okay. What do you want? Okay. What do you want? Okay. He's not like that. But he reciprocates with each person who approaches him, even people who don't approach him. But those who approach him, Krishna reciprocates in such a way that he wants to see that they come closer to him. So that may be that he fulfills their desire. And that is particularly true with the demigods. Kang shanta karmanang siddhim yajanta iha devataha kshipram hi manushelo. Okay? Siddhi bhavati karmaja. Persons desirous of karma siddhi, getting the pious results, or the results, the materially beneficial results of their pious actions, they worship demigods and quickly they get the result in this material world. So Krishna also, we can approach demigods, we can approach Krishna. It's recommended to approach Krishna, because by approaching Krishna, even if we have material desires, then we get prayas and shreyas. We get that which is dear to us, immediately dear to us, which is of no actual benefit in the long term or in any time. That which is in an illusory way beneficial to us. And we also, by approaching Krishna, we get shreyas, that which is for our ultimate benefit. So it's really best to approach Krishna. So the Parasha Bhatta, he explains this name, that Krishna gives people who approach him with lower desires, material desires, as long as they're his devotees. But actually anyone who approaches him is at least beginning to be a devotee. He doesn't, Parashara Bhatta says, that Bhagavan, he doesn't see the faults of those approaching him. Of course, in the sense that he doesn't consider. He sees them, but he overlooks that. It's just like someone has been in this material world for countless lifetimes, forgetting Krishna, committing all kinds of sinful activities. And if somehow or other he once turns to Krishna, even for some material benefit, Krishna takes that to be a very big deal. Krishna thinks that this is something very important. He doesn't say, you want something from me, huh? Well, what about all that? Come on, pull out the sheet. No, there's a whole books and books full of all your sinful activities. No, he doesn't look at that. Oh, okay, all right, approach me. All right, that's good. He becomes pleased. And he pleases them, he pleases those who approach him. And over the course of time, the idea is that in course of time, he brings them closer and closer to him. Just two names ago, we had the name Priyarha. He who is worthy of worship, being very dear. He's worthy of being pleased. We should do things. He is the one who we should try to please. Shankaracharya, in commenting on this name, Priyakrit, he says, Priyan karoti iti Priyakrit. One who does pleasing things is called Priyakrit. And he brings in this name, Priyarha, that he is the one to be pleased and he is the one who pleases. He is pleased by, he is the one to be pleased by his devotees, and he pleases his devotees. In this regard, Satyadeva Vashishta quotes several passages from Shruti, which are prayers, mantras to the Supreme Lord, praising him and then asking him for something. This is the system. You praise someone, then you ask them for something. Just like Srila Prabhupada gave the preaching method, that first we approach someone and say, oh, you're very great, you're very good. First of all, you please them. And then you ask them, so what do you want? Give up all your hogwash nonsense ideas and surrender at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the same way, there are so many hymns. In the Vedas, Satyadeva Vashishta gives some quotes from the Rig Veda. Vashat te Vishnavasa akrinomi tanme jushasva shipivishta havyam. Shipivishta is also a name in Vishnu Sahasranam. Vardhantu twa shushtatayo giro me yuyam pata vastibi sadanaha. May these praises glorify you, and you bless us and increase whatever we have. Then another from Rig Veda. Agne naya supata raya asman vishvani deva vayunani vidvan yuyud hyasmad juhuranameno bhuyashtam te nama uktim vidhema. By pious paths, goodly paths, lead us to riches. material. Remove the sins that make us stray and wander. We will bring the most ample adoration to you. This sounds like a real Victorian era translation of the Vedas. Then, from the well-known Brahma Gayatri, Savita Gayatri, Tat Savito Varenyam Bhago Deva Siddhimahi Diyo Yo Na Prachodayat. It's also praising him, he who is the great light, the greatly effulgent person who creates everything. May he, translation is given here, energize our consciousness. May he enthuse our consciousness. So this may all sound rather mundane, but it's not from his point of view, it's from his perspective. What he does is all transcendental. Even if we approach him with mundane desires, he reciprocates with us to try to make it, to try to bring us to the transcendental platform. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning of Priyakrit. He who acts kindly, having only the devotees as the chief aim. Name 879, Preeti Vardhanaha. Preeti means love. Vardhana means who increases. When I first heard this name, some years ago, many years ago, I thought, that's a very beautiful name. Who increases love. Very good name. We had who deserves love, Priyarha. Yeah, that's three names previously now. And while discussing that name, I had an expanded discussion of what does it mean? What is the meaning of love? Of course, it's not something that can be precisely defined, but it's something that can be discussed. There's been so much discussion of love over the centuries. Of course, I don't know Tamil language, but I do hear Tamil pop songs being played here and there, and I'm pretty sure definitely in the Bollywood songs the subject is love, right? That must be Tamil also. Every language, the subject, in the popular songs. Otherwise, we hear the Tamil song. There are so many devotional ones also. For Ayyappa, Ayyappa, Shakti, Shakti. And then we hear also Venkatesh. In the villages in Tamil Nadu, you hear different, so many temples, and different temples play different things. And there's the they call it in Hindi Pyar. So that is the main subject. The main subject of songs in many languages, poetry. There are other subjects also about war and fighting. There's also subject the first or the oldest extant work in English. It's in archaic English, which no one can understand unless you specially studied, is Beowulf, which is a story of some ancient warrior who fought back. I'm sure in Montenegro, it's not a place famous for poetry, but there'd be a lot of fighting like this discussion. And we have also in Vedic culture the suttas, magadhas, they would compose praises of kings and of the dynasties before them. And what would happen is the kings would come back from a battle, and on the spot these people are supposed to, they hear about the news, how he killed this one and that one, and on the spot they compose poetry. So love, I just gave a talk in a series of talks. I'm doing several series of talks. One is on the Prakriti Rasa Shatadushani. So near the beginning of that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he talks about the Jara Kavya, the mundane poetry. So I gave a talk on mundane love poetry. I can't live if living is without you. I can't give anymore. That's something years and years ago, I used to hear it blaring out of the radio. I can't live if living is without you. It's a good song if it's directed toward Krishna. Otherwise, it's mundane. We have some visitors from Paschatya Desha, from the Western world. Make sure they don't leave without prasadam. Do you want a chair to sit on? Maybe he doesn't understand English. He's wandering somewhere. I think he doesn't understand English. All right, we'll get on with this. So Priti Vardhana, one who increases love. But we should understand that real love means love for Krishna. And mayic love, illusory love, leads to illusion. In the second canto of Bhagavatam is stated that in the universal form, the sweet smile of Maya, deceptive smile of Maya, describes about that. So it's deceptively beautiful, and it only leads to distress. Priti, what is priti? There are different words in Sanskrit for love. We have in English the word love, and then we have the priti, prema, anuraga, bhav, mahabhav, pranaya. There are different words. There are different words for hatred also. And anger, there are different words, different kinds of anger. Rosha, raga, krodha, different kinds of anger. So, priti especially refer, because love can be the kind in mundane consideration, love can be the kind of love where two old people have been married all their life, they're both 80 years old approximately, and they're sitting around the fireplace and they're just together, and it's a long-standing relationship. So that's one kind of love. But priti means that kind of fresh upsurge of love where the heart is full of joy and one is intoxicated. In an intoxicated state, one often does things which don't make any sense, are not good for one's own well-being or for that of others, but your discrimination is lost. So getting drunk is very dangerous. Falling in love is very dangerous. It has a very similar effect. You do things and say things which, if you are more sober, you would understand is not good for you. Somehow, or good for anyone else, but somehow this state of falling in love is considered the best possible thing. If you haven't loved, you haven't lived. Whereas getting drunk is not rated very highly, especially not in this part of the world. Or in the Mlecha Desh where we come from, it's just part of life, thing that people do. Give them some prasadam before they go, these people. At least Hare Krishna. Let them hear the Hare Krishna. At least this much. So, Priti Vardhana is he, Krishna, who incites such a feeling in the heart of the devotee. Mad. It's a kind of madness within the heart. We heard yesterday also from Sri Vasudevan that how the devotees, they become mad. Unmadavan. That is stated, that most important verse of the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taught. Unmadavan. The devotees become as if mad. They are actually mad. This is the highest state of devotion, to be mad. The gopis, when Krishna, he called them with his flute and they came to see him, then they went to the bank of the Yamuna and they were feeling proud. So we're told by Vyasadeva. I didn't say that. And Krishna left them and they became unmatta. The word is used twice in that chapter. They became mad. And they started imitating the pastimes of Krishna. They didn't know what to do. It's getting a great treasure and then losing it. They became mad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, similarly, in one of his songs in the Sharanagati series, he sings, Gurudev, kabe tava karuna prakashe. O Gurudev, when will you show your mercy to me? And the ultimate installment of that mercy is Bishoye Amare Pagala Balaya. What is that last? Ongete Dibe Kaduli. I'll know when I've got fully the mercy of my guru, when the materialistic people abuse me as being mad and throw dirt on me. So we didn't quite make it yet. Actually, for our preaching and everything, we have to dress in respectable clothes because we have to mix with so-called respectable people. But the state of madness where one just forgets everything of this world and is so absorbed in Krishna, he becomes to outward vision as if mad. So Krishna, the previous name we had, Priyakrit, he can fulfill our material desires. You want that? He can do it. But his real mercy, of course Yudhishthira asks, how do we recognize your mercy when I take everything away? Material. But then what does he give? He doesn't just take everything away, but what does he give? The real installment of Krishna's mercy is to give that kind of love by which we become as if intoxicated with that feeling of fresh love. That is possible in youth, fresh love, but it doesn't last. The thing is with Krishna that it does last. It's always new. We hear that in the spiritual world in Vrindavan, Krishna and the gopis, they meet, and every time it's as if they met for the first time. Their feeling, their expectation, the gopis' feeling and Krishna's feeling and expectation is just as if they'd never met before. That strong feeling. And it's increasing all the time, all the time, all the time. So the meaning of this name, Vardhana, can mean to one who increases, who makes grow, or to fill. So he increases the love of the devotees for him, and he fills the devotees with love for him. Having become completely full up, he fills us more and more and more and more. It's unlimited. How does Krishna do that? By being Krishna. He is all attractive in everything he does, everything he says, by playing his flute. Just by being Krishna, and he is always Krishna, by his activities, in his boyhood, his childhood, as he gets older, for the devotees who love him, then everything about him simply increases their love for him. Therefore, we are advised to hear about Krishna and chant about Krishna and become bewitched by Krishna. This is I don't know exactly the etymology, but I can guess. Bewitched, the word gives the sense of being struck with a magic charm by which one's understanding becomes distorted. So in the same way, love is like a charm that charm in the sense just like being under the control of a mantra. So we become bewitched by Krishna so that we can't think in a normal way. Our whole sense of thinking is all changed because we're attracted to Krishna. We may go to Vrindavan and live like birds. That's stated also in the Bhagavatam. So many people, being charmed by Krishna, they leave everything and go. They just live like birds. In other words, they have no means of sustenance. They just rely on Krishna and they live like that. No material demands, no material arrangements. Parashara Bhatta says that by increasing his qualities more and more, Krishna's qualities are always increasing more and more, and the love and joy in the heart of the devotees increases more and more. And therefore he's called Priti Vardhana. Parashara Bhatta in this regard quotes from Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. The word priti comes here in love, comes here in Bhagavad Gita. To those who are always yukta, they're joined with me. The impersonalist might take that to mean in an absolutely literal sense. It means just like we sing in the yuktasya bhaktangs chanayunjatopi, one who is yukta. Shri Vigrahara dhana nityanana shringaratan mandira marjanado. One who is yukta, one who is engaged in activities of worshipping the deity with various kinds of ornament, offering various kinds of ornamentation, cleaning the temple, various services. So one who is yukta, so one who is engaged always in Krishna's service and worships Krishna with love. Krishna says, I give the intelligence by which such persons come to me. So he increases the love. He gives the buddhi yoga. He gives the intelligence how to serve him better, how to come to him. In the Divya Prabandhas, an example is given, just like the farmer in the fields, he cultivates crops, so Krishna cultivates the love of his devotees. Plant very carefully, look after it, take out the weeds, always thinking of it. Over a an extended period of time. In the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, one commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, V.V. Ramanujan, refers to Ramanuja's introductory section in his Gita Bhasha, where Ramanuja states about Krishna. Niratishaya Saundarya So Shilyadi Gunagana Avishkarena Akrura Malakaradin Parama Bhagavatan Kritva. Who, Krishna, by his extraordinary, massive beauty, pleasing behavior, and so many other qualities, brought under his control, or mugda, he made as if bewildered, charmed, Akrura, the florist, and so many others, and made them into topmost devotees. So that's what Preeti Vardhana means, an example is given. V.V. Ramanujan also refers to Namallava's Tiruvayamoli Pasaram, where the Allava recounts that Bhagavan has lodged himself in Namallava's heart by the beauty of his lotus eyes. So just to forestall the possibility of Namalva forgetting him, he's lodged himself in the heart of Namalva by the beauty of his lotus eyes. Satyasandha Tirtha of the Madhva Sampradaya says, Pritim bhakteshu vardhayati pritya bhaktan vardhayati iti va priti vardhana. He grows love in his devotees. Or he makes the devotees grow in love. Therefore he's called Priti Vardhana. We see just 2 days ago I was speaking with a devotee who was referring to another devotee who's fairly young in devotional service and recounting to me that, oh, I've seen him in the last few years. He's grown so much in devotion. He's flourished in devotion. He's come up so much. So that's the mercy of Krishna. He helps our devotion to grow and flourish. Then to fill, or another meaning of Priti Vardhana is to fill with love or to fulfill the love of his devotees. That's Krishna. He fulfills the love of his devotees by giving himself to them. The devotees love him. The devotees want to be with him. Devotees want to serve him. And he fulfills their desires. Someone who approaches Krishna with material desires, he'll fulfill that. That is Priyakrit. Actually, the word Priyakrit can also refer to his fulfilling the desires of his pure devotees, but the commentators have taken it in this sense. So he fulfills the love of his devotees. And even the non-devotees, he extends his love to them. He comes to this world to exhibit his loving pastimes. Otherwise, there's really no need for him to come to this world, even remotely from the spirit. Again, Vasudevan was saying, there's no need for him to come to this world. He can do everything from Vaikuntha. But he comes to this world, especially, even killing the demons, he can arrange that. But he comes to this world especially to nourish the love of his devotees, and to even among the non-devotees, to show himself, to exhibit himself, that here is love, here is beauty, here is mercy, on a level which you have not imagined before. We have all these terms, love, beauty, mercy. They're all used in everyday language. But Krishna comes to show the fulfillment of all these words, the real meaning of these words. Real love, real beauty, real compassion is in relationship to Krishna. And Krishna personally shows that. Love is that quality by which we see good, even when there is bad. Of course, bad in the real sense of the term means not Krishna conscious. But people, materialist people, they wonder, well, who is this Krishna? He's stealing, he's lying, he's going with other people's wives. Why? How can it be good? It's all on the platform of love. Therefore, it's all good. Transcendental morality. If there's love, it's good. If there's no love, it's not good. So everything in this material world is not good because there's no real love. And everything that Krishna does is good because it's all on the platform of love. And even in this material world, something is considered better. What is considered good is that in which there is love as understood in the material way. So it is good to feed the poor because you are showing compassion to them. There is an element of love. So that is good in the material sense. It is bad to wantonly kill people because an absolute absence of love. But Krishna comes to show what is actual love. And Srila Prabhupada came to show who is Krishna, who is actually God, and what is actual love. Otherwise, in the materialistic outlook, love of God means we love the person who gives us our daily bread. Which, okay, it's a start, but that's as far. If that's as far as it goes, then we're not really coming very close to Him who has so much more to offer us than daily bread. Baladev Vidyabhushan, in explaining the name Priti Vardhana, says, he who increases his devotee's love, and here Baladev brings in the point, even disregarding Lakshmi, he'll increase his devotee's love. In other words, Lakshmi, as a possessive wife, just wants to keep him jealously. I want to keep you. Don't go here and there. But Krishna, he has so many people to love. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda. He expands his love to everyone. Everyone in the material world is chasing after Lakshmi. She's chasing after him. But she got a place on his chest. So she'll never be away from him. And Baladev Vidyabhushan quotes in this regard, Chaturvidha bhajante maṁ janah sukritin arjuna arto jignyasur artati jnani cha bharatarshaba tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhakti visheshyate priyohi jnanino tyartam ahang sacha mama priyaha. Four kinds of virtuous people worship me, the distressed, the inquisitive, those desiring wealth and the wise, and among them, Krishna says, the jnani, which means here one who is in knowledge of his relationship with Krishna, who has exclusive devotion for Krishna, is the best. For I am exceedingly dear to that jnani, and the jnani is exceedingly dear to me. So he acts kindly toward, and again this is bringing in some discussion of Priya Krit. He acts kindly towards those who are distressed, those who are on the intellectual platform inquisitive, those who desire wealth. That is just his magnanimity. Not that they have devotion. There's maybe a glimmer, an abhas of devotion. But Krishna, just out of his kindness toward them, he reciprocates with them and gives them something because he is only attracted by pure devotion. He's not actually attracted by people coming and saying, give me this, give me that, give me the other. But he's patient enough that he listens and he reciprocates. I'm going to read from a transcript of Srila Prabhupada's talk on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 23, on September the 20th, 1976, in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada said, "We have to establish some relation with Krishna as servant, as a friend, as a son, as a father, mother, or like the gopis, madhurya rasa, conjugal love. Krishna is ready to associate with you in any way you like. Somebody likes Krishna as a friend. Somebody likes Krishna as a husband. Somebody likes Krishna as a paramour. So Krishna is ready. Somebody likes Krishna as a son. So anyway, Krishna is ready. We have got these five relations in this material world. There is no other relation, and there are other relationships also. Krishna is also ready to accept. If you want Krishna as an enemy, yes, Krishna is ready. He'll kill you. But that is also good for you. If you want to fight with Krishna, yes, Krishna is ready. Everything. Akhila rasamrita sindhu. He can associate with you in any rasa, humor you like. Krishna is ready. Ready means that is natural. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, so the part and parcel must remain with Krishna. So you have to remain with Krishna in some relationship. Here our relationship is through this external energy, Maya. The relationship is there. Although we have tried to give up our relationship with Krishna, Krishna has not given up. Krishna is always with you. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridyeshe juna tishtati. He is within your heart. Why? Well, that's stated in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Brahmayan sa, he makes the living beings wander. Brahmayan means he makes to wander. But here Srila Prabhupada says, he is within your heart. Why? Just to give you association. Now we have rebelled. You want to do something independently. Krishna has also agreed. All right. You do independently. But it's not possible for you to live independently. That is not possible. So I'll give you sanction for independent living. Just see how Krishna is a friend. You cannot live independently. That is not possible because you are Ansha. Ansha means part and parcel. Just like this finger. A finger is a finger so long as it's with the body, otherwise who cares for a finger? Suppose a finger is cut and thrown in the street, who cares for it? The finger is important so long as it is with the body. Similarly, we are always with Krishna, indirectly or directly, but here Arjuna sees Sakshat directly, but we are forced to accept Krishna indirectly, Maya. So Priyakrit, gives the idea of Krishna giving what is wanted to people who approach him, not with a very high standard of love, still infected by Maya. And Preeti Vardhana means those who are on the path of pure devotion. Krishna increases it and increases it and increases it. And even for the topmost devotees who are full of love for Krishna, they're already full, but he increases their love also. And an example, we read this morning, how the gopis meditating on Krishna's form and his pastimes, their love for him simply increases. Bahapiram Natavaravapu Karnio Karnikaram Bibradvasa Kanaka Kapishang Vajiantim Chamalam Randran Veno Adara Sudhaya Purayan Gopa Vrindayar Vrindaranyam Svapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirtihi. The gopis meditating on Krishna, not even seeing him directly. They think of him with a peacock feather ornament on his head. Natavaravapu, appearing like a dancer or an actor on a stage. Sanatana Goswami says that, in commenting on this verse, says that a dancer or an actor on a stage is generally dressed in bright colors. And on his ears, he has the Karnikara flower. He's dressed in the yellow garments, typical of Krishna, and the Vaijayanti mala, the very long garland of various flowers. Filling up the holes of his flute with nectar, he plays his flute, putting it to his lips. The nectar of his lips enters the flute. And he enters the forest of Vrindavan with the cowherd boys. He very pleasingly enters, walking on his own feet, enters the forest of Vrindavan, playing his celebrated flute song. So, discussing the love, Krishna increases the love. He increases the love of Radha to such an extent that he himself, being completely unable to understand that, wants to become her, so he can taste a little bit of the love she has for him. This is the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who he is. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanaya Ivasvadyo Yena Adbhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Vamadiyaha Sokyam Chasa Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobhat Tad Bhavardya Samajani Shachi Garbha Sindho Harinduhu. What is the glory of the love that Radha has for me? What is the exceptional, astonishing taste that she finds in her love for me? What is the happiness that she experiences in relation with me, being very intensely desiring to experience that? Krishna appears accepting her feelings. He appears in the womb of Shachi Devi, which is compared to an ocean, and he is like the moon rising up in that ocean. It's all very ornamental language. So that's a discussion of Priyakrit and Preeti Vardhana from Vishnu Sahasranama. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nitaya chunakang padayani patya kritva chakakushatam etad aham bravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad Gauranga Chandra Charne Kuruta Anuraga Parivadatu Jano Yata Tata Ba Nanamukarona Vayang Vicharayama Hari Rasa Madira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vilu Tama Nartama Nirvisha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.